teachers and advocates of the Word of God have laid down the importance of the New Testament church as a standard for us to learn from. The Church of Christ has been exhorted to study the prayer life, the preaching, the government, and the witness of the New Testament church as a model or a pattern for ourselves to follow. They faithfully engaged wholeheartedly in the work of the Lord. We see that in the book of Acts and in the epistles of the Apostle Paul as well. The Apostle Paul traveled from city to city bearing witness to his Savior Jesus Christ. And as he traveled, he preached the word of God to everyone that he came in contact with. He saw a great work done for God, not because he was a charismatic or appealing preacher, not because he had a great testimony to tell, not because he had great personal characteristics and attractive personalities, but simply because he had the power and the blessing of the Lord in his life and in his ministry. And we can learn much from Paul and from the New Testament church in regard to their worship and their preaching and their prayer and their unity one with another. And these are several components that are lacking in many churches today. I want you to notice the background to this passage in Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul had preached Christ in Thessalonica, that is, the place of the church to which the letters to the Thessalonians, the two epistles, were written to. And some of the Jews that heard him believed in Christ as their Savior. Yet there were those who did not believe in Jesus Christ. There were those who rejected him as the Messiah and as their Savior. And they turned against Paul and his company. And Paul left for a place called Berea. We read that in the verse number 10. And in Berea, he again wasted no time in preaching Christ. He entered into the synagogue and he preached unto the Jews in that city. The Holy Spirit moved because there were souls that were saved. We read that in the verse number 12. Therefore, many of them believed, but souls were saved and converted. And Luke points out for us, there is a major distinction here between the believers that were in Thessalonica and the believers that were in Berea. There was no difference in their salvation, for they were saved the same way, through the same gospel message, through the same Savior. And it was not in regard to their justification, because they were saved to the same extent, full and complete justification before God. This was in regard to their attitude and to their actions before or towards the Word of God. We read that in the verse number 11. These, that is those in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were more noble. And it refers to a spiritual morality that these people had. They were more noble in a moral sense. They desired after the word of the Lord. They were more noble towards the scriptures than those of Thessalonica, both believer and unbeliever. And they held the word of God in very high esteem. The New Testament church had a very high place for the word of God. And I want us to consider together then this morning timely lessons from Berea. Timely lessons from Berea, focusing mainly on their attitude towards the word of God. Last year, when I was here, I preached on the word of God from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And we seen a few principles concerning the word of the Lord, the purpose of the word, the place of the word, and various other things, the presence of the word. The word of God is that inspired truth. This morning, I don't want to cover old ground, as it were, but I want to give more practical lessons concerning the word of the Lord and concerning the attitude of these people in Scripture towards the word of the Lord and the things that they engaged in. Firstly, I want to consider the reception of the word. The reception of the word. We read that in the verse 11, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received the word. When Paul came to Berea, these people had time to receive the word of the Lord. They had time to listen to what Paul had to say. in the preaching of the Word of God. They were willing to hear him present Christ as the Messiah in the synagogue. And they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Paul argued that Christ was the Messiah from Scripture. And they believed him. They willingly heard it. And that is a lesson for us all. Do we desire to hear the word of the Lord preached? Do we desire to hear it? To hear what the preacher has to say? And not just hear what the preacher has to say, but read the word ourselves in our own private devotions and our own private times. Do we desire to hear the word of the Lord? They didn't have to listen to Paul preach, but they had that desire to hear God's word through him. Why? It wasn't anything to do with Paul. It wasn't because of who he was. Yes, he was the greatest missionary the Church of Christ has ever seen. They listened to the word of the Lord because it was the word of the Lord. He was the instrument that God had chosen to bring the word to them. We ought to remember that when we hear the man of God preach the word of God, it is not the word of the preacher, but it is the word of God. The preacher every week seeks the face of God for a word for the congregation. He prays, he studies, and he beseeches God to give him that word for the congregation. It is not the word of the preacher, but it is the word of God that the preacher brings to the congregation. It is then a very good reason in that for us to hear the word of the Lord proclaimed, not just to attend the preaching of it, but to listen to it and to diligently hearken unto it. They listened because it was the word of the Lord. Paul expounded the scriptures of truth. The scriptures ought to be treasured by the people of God. Why? Because they are the revelation of God to his people. The revelation of God to his people. The scriptures present Christ to us. The scriptures make known what God is, the persons in the Godhead, his decrees, and the execution of his decrees. That is the Westminster Larger Catechism, the question 6, and the Shorter Catechism, more well known, the verse 3. The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. The word of God ought to be precious to every believer, for it is the word that guides and instructs and shows us Christ, shows us the Lord, and reveals to us heavenly things. The Bereans then recognized three important characteristics of the Word of God. Three characteristics that apply to them and can apply to us, that show us the importance that the Word of God ought to have in our lives. And they are very simple and well known. The Word of God is inspired. It is God-breathed. It is God's Word. He inspired men of old to write his precious truth. It is infallible. That ensures us that the Word of God is stable, that it has that stability, and it is truth. They are inerrant as well. There's no mistakes, no contradictions in the Word of God, and they reveal Christ. For us who are saved, Christ is precious. But what of his Word? What of his Word? John 5, verse 39 tells us quite simply, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Throughout his life, the Lord Jesus Christ pointed the Jews and the Pharisees and others to the Word of God as revealing him to the Old Testament Scriptures. And in Luke chapter 24, he speaks to those disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he says to them in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then to the larger group of disciples themselves in the verse 44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And the Savior points out that the Old Testament scriptures reveal him as the Messiah. And that is what Paul was doing in Thessalonica. and in Berea. He was used in the Old Testament scriptures to present Christ, to show Christ unto the people that were listening. He used the scriptures to prove that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. The word of God in the Old Testament points to Christ through figures and signs and types. The New Testament reveals Christ as our Savior, as the Son of God. George Willock said, and maybe used this quote before, but he said, the Word of God is a spring of living water, a deep mine of costly treasure, a table furnished with all sorts of food. The Word of God, yes, is like that spring of water that springs up out of the ground, that fresh, flowing, cool water that our soul needs to live on. It is like a mine with great riches, great diamonds, rubies, and gems for our soul. It is like that table that is furnished with all the greatest food of this world, heavenly manna, as it were, to feed our soul. So do we give the word of the Lord the time that it deserves? Are we receptive unto it? Do we desire every Tuesday night, every Sunday, to hear what God has to say to us? These people received the word of God. They had time to listen to it. Time to listen to it. Time. John Craig. Who was John Craig? John Craig was an Antrim man originally. Like myself, I was originally from Antrim. He emigrated to America in the 1700s. He was a Presbyterian minister. Every Sunday he walked 5 miles to church and 5 miles back. He carried his Bible in one hand and a rifle in the other. And the rifle was not to use if his congregation fell asleep or anything like that. But because of Indians and the danger that there was in those days of being under attack, every man in the congregation carried a rifle for protection of himself, for his family, and for the other church members. The service commenced at 10 a.m. He preached at noon. Then for an hour, the congregation had their lunch. At 1, the same sermon resumed, and he preached again till sunset. And the man who led the singing of the Psalms could hardly see the pages and the words of the Psalter to lead the congregation in the closing psalm. One of the sermons that was preserved over the years had 55 headings. 55 headings or points. I only have 3 points this morning. But people still wanted to hear what this man had to say. The sermon lasted practically all day. If we read it now, perhaps it would be hard for us to understand, for us to follow it, even in the printed page. But in the 1700s, people in those days, the ordinary person, did not have the educational qualifications that most would have today. The women did not go to university in those days. And that was the culture that they lived in. But today, we would find it hard to focus on a 55-point sermon. Those people had the desire to listen to it in those days. It lasted all day. Yet sometimes today it is hard for us to have time to listen to the word of the Lord. We have many things today that save us time. Cars, planes, trains, various gadgets at home, the oven, the washing machine, all made to save us time, yet there's less time for God's word. That is a very solemn truth. There were less forms of entertainment in those days. Entertainment replaced the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord ought to be preeminent in our lives. May the Lord give us today a fresh glimpse of his truth. May we have a desire to read it and to study it. A fervent desire to hear his word and what he has to say to us. May we receive it gladly and rejoicing. Notice secondly here, their diligence concerning the word. Their diligence concerning the word. They didn't just receive it. They received it with all readiness of mind. All readiness of mind. They were open to it. They knew the word would change their lives, would alter their actions, their communications, and their approach to those great decisions of life that had to be made. They believed it. Let me speak perhaps to those who may be out of Christ. Do you believe the Word of God today? The Word of God shows you your sin. It shows us how sin came into this world. In the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned against God. That sin was passed upon all men, for we have all sinned. We have all come short of God's glory. The Bible states that all have sinned. Every one of us is a sinner. It doesn't matter how young we are sinners before God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Scriptures present Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary to die for sinners. Do you believe what the Word of God says in regard to those eternal matters? The great matters of eternal security, of eternal life, whether it be heaven or whether it be hell. It points us to Christ, the Lamb for sinners slain, the one we have to trust on to have eternal life. Notice then that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. This phrase shows us that there was some kind of preparation for the Word of the Lord. They received it with all readiness of mind. There must have been some sort of preparation to receive the Word of the Lord. What kind of preparation can we make to hear or read the Word of the Lord? Luke 8 verse 18 says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." Take heed therefore how ye hear. We ought to contemplate the awfulness of the majesty of the Lord that we are coming to worship, of whose Word we are coming to hear. One whose presence we are going into. We ought to banish, cast out those things that are of the world and will affect our worship of God. We ought to purge our hearts. We ought to mortify the flesh. Put to death the sins that so easily beset us. 1 Peter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." The Word of God is that means in which we can grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of the Lord. We should pray as well in regard to hearing the Word of the Lord. On the Lord's Day, we should pray. The Westminster Confession of Faith contains certain guidelines as to praying for the Word of the Lord. It was written, penned by Puritans and Covenanters, and they placed a great desire on preparation to hear the Word of the Lord. One of these documents says, on the Lord's Day, after every one of the family apart and the whole family together have sought the Lord, in whose hands the preparation of men's hearts are, to fit them for public worship and to bless to them the public ordinances. They seem the great need to pray concerning the reception of the Word of the Lord. We ought to pray. It is the Word of the Lord that we are coming to hear. If we want the Lord to speak to us, we ought to speak to the Lord concerning it. We ought to pray the Lord would have a message for us. Perhaps there's difficulties in our lives, trials that nobody knows about, things that we have to face and we do not know how we're going to face them. We ought to pray about them. We ought to pray that the Lord would have that message for us in His Word. We ought to pray for the minister or the preacher. Paul said, "Brethren, pray for us, that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." Brethren, pray for us, that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. What Paul was saying is that he wanted the Thessalonians to pray for him, to pray for him as he preached the Word of God, that the Word may have free course, that it may be glorified, that it may have free course in the lives of those who heard it. Those who heard it would receive it with all readiness of mind. And not only that they would receive it, but that they would do something about it. They would accept Christ. That they would be blessed by hearing the Word. And that God's name would be glorified. We should pray for the preacher, that the Spirit will move and assist him. We should pray that the Lord would speak to us, feed us on heavenly manner. Psalm 119 verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may see wondrous things out of thy Lord, we should pray for the Spirit to be outpoured. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you, that yourselves and others may be bettered by the Word. Proverbs 1 verse 23. When the Word of the Lord is preached, what should we do? We should listen with diligent attention. Isaiah 52 verse 2, 55 verse 2. Hearken diligently unto me. Hearken diligently unto me. We should listen to what the Word of the Lord has to say unto us. It is important. It concerns spiritual matters. It concerns our eternal growth and our sanctification. Christ commanded his disciples to take heed what ye hear, to hearken unto what ye hear, and to listen to what the Word of the Lord is saying unto them. We ought to receive it with all readiness of mind. Like the Catechism says, to lay it up in our hearts, to practice it in our lives. It ought to be highly prized and meditated upon night and day. They received it with all readiness of mind. Notice then the searching of the Word. Their searching of the Word. We read in the verse 11 that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They searched the Scriptures daily. So on the surface, we have here what could be called a daily time of devotion. They searched the Scriptures daily. A time of devotion, as we see it today, is a period in which each child of God spends time alone with the Lord, reading His Word and praying unto Him. It is of great importance. We need time each day to grow and to learn from God. The Puritans place great prominence on times of prayer, on times of devotion, and on family worship. They penned many great articles, great sermons, great guides of instruction on these matters. And they urged the congregations and Christians in general to study the Word of the Lord. They taught fathers how to have spiritual leadership in their own home, how to lead their children in worship in the Lord. They taught their mothers to follow the biblical pattern. They taught children to respect their parents all through the Word of God. They advocated family worship at least once, maybe twice a day. Not just the reading of Scripture, but the explanation of it. Perhaps what could be called a mini-sermon or a short explanation or commentary on what has been read so that it is understood by those who hear it. And to do this, the father, the parents, had to study Scripture for themselves. And the Puritans wrote many commentaries, many books and sermons that were published to help people to understand Scripture. Many of their sermons were consecutive through the Bible, through a book. There are many commentaries on books of the Bible that are really just sermons that have been banded together and published. Studies that they did in the Word of God. And it is no surprise then that, as we said in the Westminster Confession of Faith, there are several documents that refer to public worship, to private worship, to church government. And one of the documents, directions for private worship, which we quoted from, involves private worship in secret, ourselves and in the family. And the Church of Scotland in 1647 approved this document as part of the Confession of Faith that elders, ministers in our church sign whenever they are ordained. They approved this document and they stated that the session of a church had the authority or the power to discipline by barring from the Lord's table any head of the home who neglected his duty in this matter. That is how seriously they took it. Times have changed. And no longer is this done, as far as I'm aware. But I am saying it this morning to show the importance that these men, these godly men, placed on Scripture, the importance that they placed on the Word of the Lord. They seen it as vital, and they seen it as a great necessity. They searched the Scriptures daily. Not every day, not just on a Sunday, but every day. They searched them daily. They heard, what they heard in the Sabbath was not enough. They went, they opened the Scriptures every day. They opened them to learn the things of the Lord. The Bible is a book that is to be opened every day and not just at church services. And they searched the scriptures, whether those things were so. They searched the Old Testament scriptures to verify the preaching of the truth. They wanted to see what Paul was teaching for themselves. They wanted to verify that what he was saying was the truth. And note this, they would have searched the scriptures to verify what Paul said was the truth, to learn for themselves, not out of spite, not of an attitude to say, well, Paul must be wrong, we'll look at the scriptures, we'll study the scriptures, and we'll point out his faults, and we'll speak to him, whether privately or publicly, and denounce him for preaching things that are not in scripture. That was not the attitude that they took. But they searched them daily. It was a commendable action, because they wanted to learn the things of the Lord. They wanted to see for themselves what the preacher was saying to them. We can hear messages on Sunday, and we can remember maybe great chunks of them. But maybe if we wanted to present the truths that a preacher brings to others, our own families, our friends, even gospel truths, that involves our own studying of Scripture, our own verifying of the things that were said, whether they are in accordance to the word of the Lord. They search the Scriptures. And the Greek word here for search means to examine, to investigate, to inquire into. It comes from the Greek word to judge. And to judge simply is an unbiased decision. A judge in the courts of law makes a decision based on the advice from the jury, but it is an unbiased decision. He does not know the person that he is judging, so it is unbiased. And these people then made an unbiased decision based on the word of the Lord. They came to the scriptures with an unbiased attitude. They did not come to the scriptures with a system of doctrine and place that system in scripture and perhaps even twist scripture to fit the doctrine or the system that they had. There are many today that have their own doctrines of belief. They come to scripture and they try and fit scripture into their system. These people didn't do that. They came unbiased. They came without any doctrine, without any scripture as it were, and they got their teaching, they got their systems, they got their doctrine from scripture. They listened to what the word of God had to say. They seen it from themselves. They didn't come with their own opinions already formed in their own minds. Yes, they listened to the preaching of Paul, but the word searched here means that they came unbiasedly to the word of God and took the word of the Lord for what it said. They got their system out of Scripture. And in regard to studying Scripture, we'll get very little out of Scripture if we do not search and dig deep for those treasures. That which comes lightly goes lightly. Any teaching we hear ought to be examined in light of Scripture. There are many people today, even throughout our land, that preach many doctrines that are not found in Scripture. We ought to search for ourselves if a certain truth is found in Scripture. It ought to be our final authority and our final, I suppose, source on these matters. Let me ask you this morning, are you a studier of the Word? Do you search the Scriptures daily, unbiasedly, seeing what the Lord has to say to you? We ought to hear what God has to say. This was not just perhaps a memorization of Scripture. The Pharisees memorized Scripture. They memorized the Word of the Lord. They could give you great chunks of the Word of the Lord from their memory, from their minds. Yet, while they memorized Scripture, they had no real knowledge of Scripture. Their interpretation on Scripture was wrong because they did not see Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of God. Their interpretation was wrong. And we can know Scripture. We can memorize Scripture, and that is good. It is good for boys and girls to learn the Word of God. It is good for adults to memorize the things of the Lord as well, to learn verses from the Bible to quote to those we witness to. But this was not merely a memorization, but it was an in-depth studying. How can we use our knowledge of Scripture? Acts 17, verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days, this is in Thessalonica, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. These Jews in Thessalonica said that Christ was not the Messiah, but Paul was able, from Scripture, to argue that Christ was the Messiah, to show them that he was that lamb that was led to the slaughter, that promised of God. He used his knowledge of Scripture with the help of the Spirit of the Lord to do these things. Paul was an apostle, yes. But if we read the history of the early church and the great persecution that broke out in Jerusalem, the people were scattered abroad. Scattered abroad. And what did they do when they were scattered abroad? They preached the Word of God. They preached the Word of God. They had a knowledge of Scripture. It was a head knowledge. It was a heart knowledge. And they put this into practice. They put the knowledge, the theory as it were, that they knew into practical use for the Lord. When we study God's Word, we can use it for practical use. We can witness to the lost. We can encourage the saints. We can defend the Scriptures from those who would seek to denounce the Word of God. We don't want to study the Word academically so it can be written of us that we were more noble than those in any other place. We don't want to study it academically so that those others in various places can say that we are more noble than them, to please man rather than to please God. But we ought to study the Scriptures daily in these ways, so that it can be written of us that we were more noble, not because of the knowledge we have, not because that we want to please men, because we don't, we want to please God, but so it can be written of us that we are a people that know the Word of the Lord. And in knowing the Word of the Lord, we know the Lord personally. We are walking with Him. What would happen if we all became like the Bereans? If everybody in this land became a Berean, churches would empty because there are those who do not preach the truth. And in regard to those who read and pray and study the Scriptures diligently with all readiness of mind each day, what will happen to them? Well, there would be great personal blessing. They would be sanctified by the Word of God. They would grow in their faith. The work of God would be blessed. Every time God's people have prayed and given place to the Word of God, God has blessed in great blessing, in revival blessing. 1859, for example, the people prayed, the people read, and God moved and God blessed. There were conversions as well. Souls were saved. Let me say this morning, maybe there are those here struggling with difficulties and problems. There seems to be no answer. Get into the Word of the Lord. Study the Word of the Lord. The Lord will speak to you through it. The Lord will bless you. The Word of the Lord will help you through your problems. That close relationship with the Lord will help you. Be Berean. One of those perhaps here who labor for Christ without any results. There are many laborers for Christ in children's meetings, even in our own churches, in youth meetings in our own churches, even in Sunday services where there seems to be no visible sign of God's blessing and God moving and saving souls. What can we learn here this morning? We can learn to be Berean. We can learn to study the Scriptures daily, receiving the Word with all readiness of mind. God will bless us if we do that. What of those who are new converts? Study the Word of the Lord. Receive it with all readiness of mind. Be Berean. What of parents who want their children to grow up loving the Lord, following the Lord, serving the Lord? Be Berean. Read the Word with them. Study the Word with them. Your children will see the emphasis you place on the Word. They will see the reverence that you hold for the Word of God. and they will follow in your footsteps. Be Berean. May we this morning learn from these people of Berea many great lessons in studying the word and receiving it with all readiness of mind. May it be said of us that we were a people like those in Berea, for we treasured the word, and we read the word, we studied the word, and we loved the word of God. Amen.